are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally and I'm your host. Will T and Ray are out. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. It's going down. Last preseason game of the year. You know what I'm saying? Skins take on the Baltimore Ravens. Be more. What's good? Who's going to make this team? Who needs it the most? Who's hungry? We're going to discuss that, man. Will T would normally say this. He's not on the show, but he would say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about last week's Skins preseason game against Ray's Atlanta Falcons, the Skins winning 19-7. Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report will join the show. Then we'll preview the Skins' last preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens. Finally, Burgundy and Gold Report contributor Paul will join the show as we break down the Skins' 53-man roster. But first, right now, I have my homie, the homie, Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the line. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, TTR, man. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem, man. I love having you on. You're so insightful. So, Adam, you know, the dress rehearsal game was last week. The Skins defeat the Falcons 19-7. Case Keenum was 9-for-14 for 101 yards in the game. What were your thoughts on his play?
Like I said, again, it's preseason, so again, we all have to take that with a grain of salt. But I like some of the positions they put him in and some of the packages they put him in. And, you know, I'm actually in the process of writing an article coming out this week about getting the best out of Case. And just what I've seen, you know, to have success with him, you know, everyone knows he's not going to throw the ball downfield, you know. Getting him involved with, you know, short, intermediate passes, play action, screen. You know, we didn't see too much of that in preseason, which tells me I think we're going to see a heavy dose of it during the regular season. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, just like last year in the beginning of the year, you know, the heavy dose of the run game, play action, short game, I think that that's the best way to utilize him. You know, again, I take it with a grain of salt because, again, they keep it really vanilla in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm like most people. You know, he's a bridge quarterback. And, you know, it's good. I truly believe if Trent Williams was here, I don't think this would have gone this way. I think that's 50% of the reason Dwayne Haskins is not starting is without Trent Williams. But, again, that's just my opinion.
So were you happy that Keenum was officially named a starting quarterback? No, that wasn't a big surprise. But what were your thoughts about that?
I thought that Jay Gruden should have just waited. You know, he's mm-hmm. been, you know, very cloak and dagger with things like very Bill Belichick-like lately. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there was no reason to say it. He should have just waited till right before the season. You know, if he wants to keep it in-house, you know, let his guys know what it is. But I don't think, you know, now the Eagles know, okay, they're going to prepare for Case Keenum. I think he should have just waited. I don't think it was necessary. And as far as my thoughts on it, I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's probably the best way to go right now because, you know, going against Philadelphia, I think that they're just going to draw a blitz all day on Dwayne Haskins. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think with Case Keenum, they'll show a little more respect because he's a veteran. So mm-hmm. there'll be a little more, you know, off coverage. And, you know, I think that we definitely can have some success. I'm not on board with, you know, the folks that think that Philadelphia is the next Super Bowl champion, is going to dominate. I think it's going to be a really good game. And, mm-hmm. you know, and to start, I think, you know, he could give us a decent chance to win if they follow the blueprint of, you know, a heavy dose of the run game. But as far as, you know, do I like it or not? No. I can find holes in starting either one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. So to on the side of like Jay Gruden, wouldn't you think that Jay Gruden has this type of arrogance to say, you know what, I had Kirk Cousins in my offense. I gave him, you know, he put up numbers. Colt McCoy is a guy that no one thought could be a starting quarterback. And I, you know, once he got the opportunity, he put up numbers with me. Now I have Case Keenum, a guy who was successful in Minnesota for that 1 year with Thielen and Thielen and Diggs, that he can put up numbers in his offense?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, everyone's down on, you know, the youth of our receivers because we're going to have so many rookies on the team. But, you know, between, you know, it's a big if Trey Quinn can stay healthy, but, and same with Jordan Reed, you know, in the beginning, you know, the way they play is, you know, inside out. So the tight ends and the slot receivers are going to be utilized, you know, most often. And I think that, you know, again, if they follow the blueprint with it, you know, they can have success. As far as Keenan putting up big numbers, you know, I think if he's, you know, putting up 200 yards, you know, two touchdowns, I think that's successful, you know, when it comes to him. And I think what a lot of people are going to be surprised to see is I think you're going to see some scrambling out of him.
Yeah.
You know, I really think, you know, I'm going to go on the limb and say he's going to average his starts at least 20 yards rushing per game.
Oh, wow.
I think we're going to see a lot of that. And that mostly has to do with the offensive line play. You know, a lot of people are focused on the left side. To be honest with you, Brandon Schreff, he's looking a little rusty. I know it's preseason off, but, you know, I watched the tape on him. He was getting beat a lot. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of times when Case is going to probably be running through for his life on passing down.
Oh, that's scary. So Brandon Schreff was looks a little rusty to you. He's not looking like the old Brandon Schreff. What does he look like?
A little bit.
Does he look scared? Does he look like he's tentative with the injury, or is it more just flat-out rust?
I just think it's just knocking the rust off, you know what I mean? Because it's like, of course, he practiced and everything, but, you know, being removed from that shoulder injury, I think it'll take some time, you know? I think he's going to, the first 2 weeks, you know, he might look a little up and down, but I think as soon as he gets into the field, you know, we'll get the old Brandon back. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Wes Martin. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to start with him at left guard.
No.
I think they're going to go with Flowers.
They are. They're going to Eric.
You know, and I think he's going to get the quick hook. I think they'll give him the first game,
mm-hmm.
but I think if he starts making costly penalties, and especially if he starts getting our quarterback hit,
mm-hmm.
I think you'll see the quick hook. So I have Wes Martin coming in, you know, sometime during the second game. So I think the whole Flowers situation is going to be short-lived.
Well, we can only hope that our offensive line coach, the guru, can just do magical wonders. You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Right now, I have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the line. All right, so the return of Geis. Geis was in full effect. Geis had 11 carries for 44 yards. Your thoughts on his performance, and did this outing change your mind about his ranking on the depth chart, maybe him starting over Adrian Peterson?
No, I think it's going to be a committee kind of a run game. You know, I think it'll start out with, you know, AP, at least the first couple of weeks, you're going to see AP coming out first, you know, and again, it's just veteran. It's just, you know, respect to the veteran. But I think as soon as we get to, you know, the midseason point, I think Geis will start to take a hold of that role, you know, knock on wood if he can stay healthy. But I like what I saw from him. It did nothing change my mind. He is what he is. I think what he offers that the tape doesn't show is his receiving ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once he starts to establish that, that's when he's going to overtake Peterson. And, you know, Peterson, you know, he had a nice game. He had a nice season last year. But I think it's going to be not too long before we see Geis really take a hold of the starting position. You know, it'll be by committee in the beginning. And what I'm hoping is, you know, they at least mix it up a little bit, get Thompson. And I'd like to see Thompson get in with both of them. You know,
yeah.
I'd like to see formations where, you know, if AP's in, Thompson is in, and vice versa. Because out of all of them, that's what's the craziest thing. He's actually the best pass blocker out of all of them.
Yeah, you're talking about Thompson, right?
Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
I think, you know, having him on the team, and, you know, I don't know if you read that article about one thing I'm going to really give Callahan, you know, credit for is he's actually, you know, in tandem with, the company that makes the sleds, the tackling sleds, and they came out with, you know, a new design where it's almost like arms that come off that sled, so it's going to be more like low, you know, lower to the ground, you know. And what it's doing is it's actually helping our linemen, you know, adjust to, you know, what real pass rushes look like, you know, because it used to be, you know, the big boys just pushing through. Now, you know, you have the Aaron Donalds and all these tacklers that are, you know, I think was under 6'2", that are really getting under your pads and getting low. So I think that, and I saw Thompson in those drills with those tackling dummies, in the sled. And I really think that Thompson, that's going to get him on the field more often. We're talking about Adrian Peterson and Geis, but I really think, you know, this is the year that, you know, Jay's got to, you know, be a little more creative and a little less scared. with Thompson and, you know, get him in on not just obvious passing downs and get him in on rundown because he's dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, in my opinion, this is his last year with us, regardless of what kind of season he has.
Wow.
I think, you know, this is going to be, you know, Gruden even mentioned about Love. This is going to be a redshirt year. I said that the second we got him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Love will take that spot next year. It'll be Love and Geist. And, you know, if we can get Thompson somewhere reasonable, he'll be back. But for the most part, Love and Geist are the future.
Yeah, I think we see that. And I would go as far to say Geist better be he better be concerned because Bryce Love, if healthy, is just as dynamic as Geist.
Oh, no doubt. You know, no doubt about that.
He has to, and that's an interesting dynamic that is going to play out down the road. But you mentioned Adrian Peterson. You know what? I mean, I like what I saw with Geist, but something about what I saw about Adrian Peterson in that first game against the Bengals, his first line of work against the Bengals. Like he still has it though. He still has it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's going to be a challenge. I mean, I'm not rushing. I wouldn't rush Geist. You know, I mean, he looked good. Don't get me wrong. And I do want Geist to be sprinkled in, but I don't think the old man's going to give it up too easy.
Oh, no, not especially with the incentives in this contract.
Yeah.
I think I read that it's nearly $5 million if he reaches the 1,000-yard mark. I think he gets – it's like another million and change if he gets 10 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's talking about over $5.5 million incentives, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be driving him big time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't – that's what I'm saying. The first couple games, I think it's going to be a healthy dose of AP.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way he runs and the way he creates, I think it's going to be very hard to take him off the field. They'll get guys in when they want, but knowing how Gruden works, he goes with the hot hand.
Yeah, so, that's
you know,
the thing.
Mm-hmm. In the first 2 weeks, I think we're going to see Adrian Peterson get at least 15 to 20 carries a game.
Yeah, and if he gets that opportunity, if he gets 15 to 20 carries, and you know, he can, I think he'll produce. He had a whole camp with this team now. He could produce. But again, it's going to work out for this team, like you mentioned, if this team just leans on the running game. They have two, to me, quality backs, two guys who are, if they got the rock full time, these are guys who can get 1,000 yards easy. So you got two individuals in Geist and Peterson that can do damage. You mentioned Chris Thompson. If you could sprinkle all three of them in, you have a situation where you don't have to feature the passing game as much.
Agreed.
You know, so the Skins held the Falcons, that high power Atlanta Falcons offense, even though they were out Julio Jones, one of the best wide receivers in the game. I think the best wide receiver in the game. To 7 points. What were your overall thoughts on the Skins defense and who stood out for you?
Oh, you know, I did a film breakdown and, you know, granted it was against the backup, but man, Casanova McKenzie, and I think I said this to you a long time ago.
Sure,
is there you or somebody else? You know, this kid's dynamic. I've been watching him since Auburn. And, you know, with that 58 on his back, it's really reminiscent of, you know, the little time we had with Junior Gallette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that bend, that, you know, that speed, the burst that he has around the edge. I think that this is a guy that he's going to actually help Ryan Kerrigan this year, believe it or not, because Ryan Kerrigan, I think, was somewhere over 70% of the snaps last year. And I think Kerrigan can be just as productive, if not more productive, with McKenzie being in more and, you know, lowering maybe his contributions to 55-60% time. And McKenzie, you know, getting him, you know, 15-20 snaps in the game, especially on obvious passing downs, I think we're going to see some exotic packages here. I'm confident in that. Cause,
I hope.
I guess it's this cautious, optimistic Redskins, you know, disease that we have here. I think, from what I'm hearing, and I tend to believe it, in the offseason, how, you know, they bought Todd Bowles, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Listen, they were trying to hire them, okay?
Yeah.
Then they turned it around like, oh, well, Minucci is just, you know, talking to people and getting ideas. But I think truly what they're going to bring to the forefront is a collective idea between Tom Sula, Ryan Horton, and the defensive back coach, and Minucci. And I think we're going to see more. I think Horton, just from, you know, past film I've seen from the team, he's not big on off cover, you know, given the cushions that we're used to seeing.
No, he's not.
You know, I think we're going to see a lot more press coverage. And I think, you know, a lot of people get caught up in Moreland's size. But, man, put that kid in press coverage, you know.
Oh, man, he can handle it.
Oh, he's starting, you know. He's going to start it, you know. He's going to be the starting slot to begin with, you know. He might rotate with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, but I think that they're going to be smart with Cromartie as well and, you know, maybe rotate him a little more based on his age, because that's the kind of guy you're going to want down the stretch, you know, on your team. And you know, my guy Adonis Alexander, man, I've been a fan for a while, but I think he's out, unfortunately. Yeah, you know, he had his chance. He's a prototypical size, everything, but, you know, I think when Gray left, unfortunately, I think his chance is left. So I think he's out. But, yeah, I have a lot of confidence in what kind of, you know, design packages they're going to run, especially against Philadelphia. You know, with the way Carson Wentz plays, you know, they're gonna be spying him all game, because if we can keep Carson Wentz in the pocket, we can beat the Eagles. You know, everyone is, you know, they just announced today that DeSean Jackson broke a finger, and although that sounds minor,
that's always, you know, big. That's big. It's not minor. It's big. They're low playing it, but it's your finger. Yeah. You got to catch a football.
Yeah. And that's where press coverage comes into play. You have somebody that has any kind of hand, wrist, finger issues, they always tell you, you know, I played a little safety, you know, when I was in school, and, you know, the one thing that they tell you is if you see anyone waving, that, like, shaking their hands after a catch or anything, go hard on that press coverage, slap those hands, you know, push those arms down. And I think Moreland, and I think Norman, and even, you know, even to a point Dunbar, which Dunbar, honestly, you know, I know he's still getting his legs back. I'm not confident he's 100% back yet. But I think if they really dedicate themselves to, you know, not playing off coverage, you know, minimizing this zone cloud coverage and just being more aggressive, I think this defense is going to be top five. I really do. And I've said that before the season started. And I just think that we're going to see more of a healthy rotation going. And once that happens, I think some big things are going to happen with this defense.
Yeah, I hope so. I said this before, and I said this to you. The defense has the talent to be a top five, top three defense, but it's all going to be predicated on Minuski. I don't want to hear about talent. I think they have the talent. It will all be predicated on Minuski. Thursday against the Ravens is the last preseason game for the Skins. Who needs this game in the worst way? We'll discuss this after the break. You listen to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally and I'm your host. Will T and Ray are out. But don't worry. I have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the line with me. So, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Skins take on the Baltimore Ravens up at FedEx Field. I will be in the building myself. There was a report. I'm going to talk about Josh Dotson. He's a guy, you know, I like, and we talk about him on Twitter. But there was a report, in the Athletic DC that the Skins are trying to trade Josh Dotson, which isn't really a surprise. We heard this about a couple weeks ago. And that they may cut Josh Dotson. Do you think Dotson plays in the final preseason game?
No. They're gonna hold him out. And the reason I think they've been holding him out is because they didn't want him to get hurt. I think that, you know, I'm not taking it from the reports. I'm just taking it from what I've seen and just what these, you know, his comps, you know, the different players on the team, you know, between Cam Sims and Kelvin Harmon. Mm-hmm. You know, these are guys that are similar kind of skill sets as far as 50-50, you know, ball catchers. And I think when Sims showed against Atlanta, that's it. He's locked. Not that it was a question before. Mm-hmm. And I think Kelvin Harmon has really started to shine and really started to show that, you know, he's the kind of big body receiver that we were hoping Josh Dotson to be. So I think that they can hope all they want that they're going to trade him, but nobody's going to give a pick because at this point in the preseason, teams are willing to wait for teams to just start to release players. Yeah. And in the end, I think they'll hold him out. And, you know, surprisingly enough, maybe to some, I think, you know, although Steven Sims from Kansas, you know, he's more of a slot guy. But I think, you know, him and Robert Davis are going to, you know, knock Josh Dotson off the roster. Because I have, in the end, mm-hmm. I was, you know, between 6 and 7, but I think that they're going to go with 7 receivers in the end.
Yeah, I think they're going with 7. I actually think they're going to keep Dotson. I think Sims will probably can make the practice squad. I don't think you can – not Cam Sims. I'm talking about Steven Sims. I don't think he's Steven a guy that you have to worry about on the practice squad at the moment, unless certain things happen. But I don't think he showed enough in preseason to say, okay, well, a team outside of the organization would like to come in and scoop him, unless their scouting department does a great – unless these other teams, their scouting department does an excellent job. When I look at Josh, this situation – I differ in this aspect that – I just think that, one, if you're going to trade, I think if you're going to trade Josh Dotson, and I'm with you, there's no way, there's no real value, right? Get a 6th or 7th round pick, you can ask for that, but who cares about a 6th or 7th round pick? You know, that's the, you know what I mean? Like, then you can go that route for it, or you can try to go that route, but you would be best, and you're right, it could be injury, but if you don't care about the guy, if you really believe that, say, you have all faith in your young guys, right? All the receivers that you have in camp. Who cares about his injuries? That's my thing. Who cares about his injuries? Like, put him out there. See what you can do and see if you can showcase him enough, do certain things, run bubble screens or whatever, put him in situations to try to be successful in preseason. At least you can find a sucker. That's my whole thing. It's all about finding a sucker. You know what I mean? So if you're not – if you don't do that, that shows me that you're not really trying hard to trade him. You can say – the reports can say that you're trying to trade him, but unless you're a back-ass organization that doesn't know how to try to find a gullible team to take this man because you don't want him, then to me, on the other end, I have to think that maybe you really don't thoroughly want to trade him.
Alan thinks he's smarter than it, and that's the thing, and that's why I see him. I do, you know, take credence with these reports because I think that Alan thinks he's smarter than everybody, and I think that he thinks he's the opposite of what we're saying by holding him out, saying, "Hey, see, we have a healthy Josh Dotson here. See, no tread." Instead of what you're saying, is showcase him, show that you know he's worth a 6'7". The message I'm getting is he's out because he's not on the field. Not that they're trying to preserve him; that they're saying, "Hey, look, see." He's removed from injuries. He has no thing. See, we've had him out of camp. He's good. Come get him we'll give it to you for a 6th, 7th rounder. So I think in the end, you know, they're going to ride that until as long as they can. And I think he'll be one of the final cuts off the team because they're going to wait till the absolute end to see if they can get any kind of compensation for him. And then at that point, they'll release him. And honestly, this is not that I think he's horrible, okay? I just don't think he fits what the Redskins and Jay Gruden are trying to do. I think you could put him on a Pittsburgh Steelers team. That'd I think amazing, there's Pittsburgh. A lot of teams you could put him on, and I think he could do well. Yeah. You know, look how Bryant did with Pittsburgh before he had, you know, all of his, you know, weed issues and before, you know, he was kicking at the door. I think that I could see him on the Raiders. I could see him in Pittsburgh. He could still have success as, you know, a 3rd, 4th receiver. I don't see him as a 1st, 2nd. But I don't think he's going to be out of the league. Like, I hear a lot of people on Twitter, they get a little far. You know, when you hear me say that, it's about, when I scout and I review, it's about the Redskins. It's not, unless I say he won't play anywhere else, I'm saying he just doesn't fit what we do. Even when I do my top 25 for the draft, top 25 for the Redskins.
Yeah.
So I think in that way, Alan just thinks he's smart and he's going to hold out. He's going to try to get something from me. He'll be one of the final cuts. But yeah, in the end, I don't see him working in what Jay Gruden's trying to do, especially starting with Keenum. Keenum is not going to throw a 50-yard bomb to him down the field. That's not going to happen.
Well, he'll throw it up. We know Case throws it up.
Yeah.
He'll give him the so-called 50-50 ball. It will be 50-50. One way or the other, it will be 50-50.
No doubt.
All right, let's move off from Josh Dotson. So this game is a big game for a lot of players that are on the bubble. Who needs the big game in the worst way?
I think, you know, it's right now I'm looking especially at the running backs and receivers, like I previously mentioned. Believe it or not, a lot of people think Robert Davis is locked. He's not a lock because, honestly, I think he'll clear. I have him as making the team as a 7th receiver, but I think he would make the practice squad because with what type of knee injury he had, I guarantee you 90% of the teams in the NFL aren't going to jump on him. Maybe in a couple weeks, but right after the preseason to make him their 5th, 6th receiver, which that's about average as most teams keep, I don't see it. So I think, you know, he's probably going to get a start in that game, Stevenson, but I think the real matchup to watch is going to be Perine Marshall, and I really like Craig Reynolds. Craig Reynolds is a guy that I see on the practice squad, and, you know, he's somebody that, you know, down the line, but between Byron Marshall and Samaje Perine. But Perine's got to have a good game because, you know, Gruden has really talked him up. And I think the management is watching that. They, if they see, even though it's a meaningless, you know, fourth preseason game, he's probably got to have the best game out of anybody on the team against Baltimore.
Yeah, I think I think Perine's going to make the team. I think Marshall had his opportunity. He just didn't show out enough to me. He played better against Atlanta. I won't lie. When I look at Marshall, I don't see anything special in terms of being that back out the backfield who can catch. I don't look at him that way. Like, I think Geist can do what he does, to be honest with you. Look at him as anything special. Perine, if one of those dudes go down, you do have a backup in terms of a guy who can run in between the tackle. So I don't know. When I look at Perine, when I look at Marshall, I don't see special. Truth be told, a guy that I thought was better than Perine was Capri Bibbs. So I don't even look at Marshall. It's Capri Bibbs. So I don't know. I'm not the biggest Marshall fan. I'm just not. I tried.
Agree. Me neither.
I tried, though. Believe me, I tried. Because there's a lot of people that gas him up. So I tried, and I was like, you know what? He ain't that bad. But then when I look at him, it's not like he's elusive. It's not like, oh, punt returns, he's a guy like, oh, who can take it to the house. When I look at him, it's like he's a football player, but nothing special.
Yeah. Agree. Mm-hmm. Agree. I think, you know, his special team, the aspect of him on special teams and returner gives him the leg up over Perine. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I agree. I think that Perine's probably going to make it because honestly, on game days, they don't activate four running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to, you know, we're talking about Marshall and special teams. They're not going to activate four running backs on game day. So, you know, Chris Thompson, you got to have that guy. I want to see him back there. I want to see him taking punts. I want to see, you know, he's mostly been kick returns for the most part since he's been here. But I want to see him doing both, honestly. You know, I want to see us utilizing him as much as possible and stop being scared with him because, you know, even when Jay is tentative with him, he'll still get hurt. So I think this is the year you just got to go full force with Thompson. And like I said, whoever's the fourth running back, they're going to be inactive on game day anyway. So it's something to watch. It's kind of irrelevant, but it's going to definitely be a battle to watch because I think for the most part, the receivers are the most interesting to watch. And I think that that's going to reveal itself, you know, pretty quick. Like I said, between Steve Sims, Robert Davis, and Josh Dotson, I think those are the three that are going to be really competing for like a 6 and 7 spot. Mm.
Burgundy and Gold Report contributor Paul will join us to break down the Skins 53-man roster after break. You listen to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces.
I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write, cause I ain't got time.
What? Tell him, Wayne. What? You are listening to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally and I'm your host, Will T. And Ray Jeezy are out, but I'm not alone. But don't worry, I'll get into that. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search All Skins, everything. Follow us on Twitter, just at Urban Sports Scene. And in our Facebook page, just hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. I still have Adam on the line, but we also have Burgundy and Gold Report contributor Paul on the line. What's up, Paul?
What's going on, Wally? How you doing?
I'm good, my man. You know, I'm glad I had the whole unit. You know what I mean? I feel like it's like the unit.
Yeah, no doubt.
We got the whole unit now. Right. You know what I'm saying? It was just me and Adam. Now we got the whole, I call it the Twitter mob. Like, we always have, like, our little discussions. All right? We may not agree all the time, but it's all love. So now, you know, we all together. You know what I'm saying? We're here. Now we're vibing. We're all in the motion. All right. So this is my thing. So first off, obviously, Thursday will be the last preseason game of the season, last preseason game. First off, give me a surprising cut before I get into my who I have in terms of the 53-man roster. Give me a surprising cut. I already heard Adam. Adam already says Dotson about to get cut, so I want to hear yours, Paul.
Well, he took Musk down there from Dotson.
I knew it.
But I have another one. I come prepared.
Okay, my man.
Jahu Chesson.
Oh. You think he's going to get cut?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to make the team at all. I ain't even thinking about him.
Yeah, I think because I'll say it like this. Mm-hmm. With the emergence of Robert Davis on special teams, I think he's out.
Mm. So
agree. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Paul.
So I was saying, this is my humble opinion. I was looking at it, and I was like, you know what? Jahu Chesson, he's a special teams player. He got a little brief one last year in playing wide receiver, but Robert Davis can do it all. He's a receiver, and all of a sudden, he just becomes a special teams boss this year because he knows, you're coming from injury, he knows special teams might be the only way he gets on this field.
Yeah, and he's hungry. He's hungry. He's very, very hungry, and he's very appreciative. That's one thing about Robert Davis, and you know, y'all know I'm a fan of the kid. He's very appreciative. He's hungry, and he looks at this situation, not to get all religious, but as a blessing. Like, he does look at it as a blessing. So I root for the kid because, you know, I can only imagine knowing last season, having a good camp, and then getting and you know. He wasn't like one of those highly touted draft picks, but you know, you saw potential, and he's had a good camp. He blew his leg, he blew his knee out, and now look at him. You know what I mean? Now he has an opportunity to fight for it, and he's put on good stuff on tape. Put it that way, and he should be proud of himself.
Exactly.
All right, so this is what I have, y'all. This is what I have. So I got my list, my 53-man list. All right, so I do have seven wide receivers. I'm gonna start with wide receivers. I have seven wide receivers. Okay, so I have Josh Dotson making the team. I have Cam Sims making the team. I have Richardson. I have Quinn. I have McLaurin. I got Robert Davis. Is that seven? Who am I missing? I think that's seven. That is
Calvin Harmon.
Harmon. Yeah, sorry. And Harmon making the team. Thank you. You just saved my ass. I appreciate you. And Harmon. Harmon making the team. Right? So I have those seven making the team. I think they will have seven wide receivers. I'm with you in this aspect of that you mentioned about special teams. I think we saw that Jay has used Davis on special teams enough, and he's performed well. You saw him use Cam Sims on special teams enough. Yeah. I can't say how he's played. It hasn't been anything, you know, that showed out. But at the same time, you know, you could tell that Jay's trying to use some of these individuals to see what they can do on special teams to make it easy for the roster.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't mention Kinsey.
See, all right, so Kinsey, I like Kinsey. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is my opinion. But I just think that since Jay is so in love with Trey Quinn, and I'm going to say this, I think he'd be a better slot dude than Trey Quinn. But that's, you know, it's all about people have already made their minds up on that, you know, on certain players. I don't think Kidsey's going to stick. That's just me. I still think you can stash him. Again, I think we as fans overvalue our own players.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So it's like they think that, okay, he's awesome. He's good. He's been good in preseason. So somebody else is going to – we put him on the practice squad. Somebody else is going to take him. Not really. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Like, Rashard Ross, right? He used to kill in preseason. I love Rashard Ross. I thought he was amazing. But he wasn't valued like we as fans valued him here. You know what I mean? Look at what happened with Harris. And the Patriots. The Patriots cut him. We thought he was the best wide receiver of all the bunch. So that's my thing. I think as fans, we overvalue. I know I'm with you. I didn't think Harris was that good either. I'm going to be honest. I didn't. But as fans as a whole, we overvalue some of the players that we see in camp and say, you know what? This kid could be like special. So and I think you could stash guys. If you like him, if you like players like that, you could still stash him in the practice squad.
I don't know. He played last year. He got some film. He played last year.
Did he do anything though last year?
Not really.
Not really. Nah. I just looked at him as a slot list and a punt returner too. So I kind of I like him.
No, I'm going to say, yeah, I
think, and I mentioned to you before while I was talking about, you know, Kidsy, but I think Steven Sims, you know what I mean? I think as far as having a big game, I'm really hoping he's going to be, you know, harassing the coaches to get him back down, punt and kick returns, because if he somehow manages to break one against Baltimore for a touchdown, he makes the team. Right now, like, I have him on the bubble. We were talking about seven wide receivers. He's my seven. Uh-huh. I think, just like you said, he would clear. He'd make it to the practice squad just like Kidsy. But with the right now, with nobody really stepping up as an obvious kick returner, punt returner, to me, Stevenson, out of everyone, I've just been reviewing some tape as, you know, we were on the break before, and I think he's the one right now that if he can have a big game, that'll make the biggest difference. Everyone else, they can make some plays. It might make a difference, might not, but he's the one guy that Jay Gruden, at the press conference today, made a point of bringing his name up and telling him how he's explosive and this and that, and we know Jay.
Yeah.
When he starts doing that, I mean, he usually really likes the player. He's done that with Harris, Grant, Pirine, like we said before. Pirine's probably going to make the team.
Yeah.
And I think he's waiting for Steven Sims to make that play. And if he makes that play, he'll be able to go to management and be like, see, and he'll make the team. So right now, that's where I stand. Steven Sims is a guy I really like. I think he's actually another guy that we could use in the slot. And, you know, the way Trey Quinn, you know, he hasn't proven he can stay on the field. You know, a backup slot's going to be really important for this team.
And that's about the thing about the wide receivers.
I agree with you.
Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
I was saying, I agree with Adam on that. And I look at Steven Sims also, and I'm like, they can get this guy out of the ball in space. He's electric. I mean, when they played Cleveland, he put a little crosser route, made the guy miss, and just kept going. I'm like, okay, we haven't had a guy with that type of wiggle in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, when is the last time we've talked this deep about young, good receivers? I mean,
never.
You could flip a coin between Kidsy and Sims. I mean, it's what you like. But I'm just really enjoying the conversation. Like, this is a hard choice that they're challenging, both of them.
And they're talking about where the most underwhelming receiving group in the NFL right now. But they're strictly doing that on draft lot because nobody out of this group besides Dotson is even a day two pick. Everyone is day three pick. So that's why, you know, the league is so down and, you know, the national media is so down. But I really think that, you know, again, Keenum will come in and, you know, let's hope he can manage. But when Dwayne Haskins gets there, that's when he's going to make stars out of these guys.
Yeah, you just hope that these guys
have speed.
Yeah, speed. But you just hope that these guys, you know, it's my thing is that it's easy to see these guys perform against one their own in camp, right? Because you get used to your folks in camp. I don't care anybody tell you get used to your folks in camp. That's why I like joint practices more than anything. But you want to judge how these dudes play against ones. You know what I mean? So that's like we see potential, right? But you want to see how these guys have done things against ones. Like we've seen Paul Richardson being able to, you know, to go deep and beat man coverage against a number two or number one cornerback. We've seen Josh Dotson beat Richard Sherman before. So like we've seen that. I'm not saying that's special, but we've seen it before. We've seen Jordan Reed do special things against everybody. Like everybody. Jordan Reed owns everybody. Right. So but we want to see these young guys. That's why we want to see these young guys do it against like ones. I thought we got to see that a little bit with my man Robert Davis a little bit, but we want to see these young guys do it against ones.
I think we did see that in the Atlanta game. We discussed that.
Well, who?
Yeah, Cam Sims caught a pass against the ones.
Sims caught he did. Sims did. I'm not gonna knock that. He did. He did. Sims was good. He was solid. I think he needed that. Like, to me, we needed to see that because we saw what he did last season in preseason. He looked great. We thought, oh, man, this dude needs to get burned. But we needed to see that this season because we hear all the talk, you know, early in camp, like how this dude looks like the best receiver, and then everything dies down, and we look at preseason games, and he's not getting the same burn, say, as – a Robert Davis, and then Jay even said it, and we talked about this too, Adam, that Jay said, well, he grouped them together, like, which was interesting to me. And, you know, Jay is honest. Like, that's one thing folks have. You got to take Jay for what he is. When Jay says something, it's pretty much the real. Like Jay said, Cam, he didn't say that. He said Cam, Harmon, Davis in the same boat. This is when Davis played well. He put all in the same boat. He didn't say McLaurin. Because you could say McLaurin, right? Because he's a young player. He didn't say McLaurin. Didn't say Richardson. Uh-huh. Didn't say Dotson. He put those three in the same boat, and which was telling to which was telling to me.
And you know what? It's that hit that Cam Sims took, you know, because last year, let's all remember, you know, he was on IR for that leg injury. You know what I mean? It seemed, I believe it was the shin. I'd have to look the details up, but that's where he took the hit. Not only did he take that hit, he took that hit, jumped up. A defender borderline knocked himself out on that, almost knocked himself out on that. But in the way Cam Sims jumped up, that's that tie swagger that I've been talking about.
Guess what?
That showed me a lot. Granted, it's preseason, but that kind of hard hit play right there, that's what these guys are gonna be absorbing. And you know, again, me and Paul will tell you, you know, we've been watching this guy from day one, and of course everyone is hyping, you know, him up, but that was the kind of play right now, the posterized play that I think that eventually is going to make him a starting receiver. Again, if he stays healthy, to me, sky's the limit for him, man.
Wow. Okay. So people forget that. What?
Yeah, because people forget that Cam played slot at Alabama.
Yeah, he did. He did.
That's right.
Yeah,
Jay mentioned that, too. Jay mentioned that. And just look at Hopkins. Go turn on, you know, the Texans Hopkins. Go look at them. Compare their games. A lot of similarities there, and I'm not going
to
take you.
No, but I was about to say, hey, Adam, stop it. Stop. Don't do that. Not Deion. Don't do that. No, not Deion. Don't do Deion. It's 99 on Madden. Don't do a 99 on Madden like that. Don't do that. I know what you're saying, though.
Right. The funny thing was that the other guy, Robert Foster, he had a great game in Buffalo last year.
Mm-hmm.
The other undrafted free agent from Alabama. Yeah. He played great.
Yeah, you can't look at like how much time anybody gets at Alabama,
no,
especially
I agree.
On the offensive side of the ball,
because
they're so deep. Because you're talking about receivers. We're not talking about most schools. You know, they have maybe two, three blue chippers. Man, these guys are having 7, 8, 5-star recruits at receiver. Like when they're asking receivers like him, 6'5", they're asking him to block. There's only so much he's going to do in Alabama, especially with the quarterback play. So that's what a lot of people have to keep in mind. If you put him on a Clemson, if you put him, you know, even Oklahoma, then he's going to put up blockbuster numbers.
Mm. No, you're right. I'm with you. I've always said Alabama is funny because they don't give you like the gaudy stats in terms of wide receivers at times. Like Julio Jones was great, but you know, he didn't. I think he had 1,000 yards a couple times.
Exactly.
But it wasn't, like, special. And then Ridley, there's not – because the quarterback play doesn't – they don't usually air it out. But you could tell, like, those dudes can ball because once they you see it. Like, the eye test never lies.
Right.
Like, it never lies. So I'm with you.
Right.
I'm totally with you when it comes to Alabama receivers. I think in terms of them and Clemson, I think Clemson does a good job with their receivers. Alabama does a great job with their receivers as well. Like, they pour them out. They pour them out. So
yeah,
I will go
back. Like that, you know.
What do you guys say?
I was agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. On the same page.
Yeah, so let's go to running backs. Let's go to that situation because that's a little dicey. We talked about it a little bit too, Adam. We all know the three-headed monster, Geist, Peterson, Thompson. Who's going to be that fourth guy?
I want Craig Reynolds.
But me too.
I know it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I said.
I mean, we know it's going to be P. Ryan. Let's keep it a buck.
Yep.
We know it's going to be P. Ryan.
Yep. But like you're saying, Paul, on game day, the fourth running back is always inactive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in this case, you know, Wally made a great point that, you know, P. Ryan probably, you know, between Jay hyping him up and the logistics of the whole thing, Piron makes sense for what he wants to do because, like Wally said, if you have Geist or Peterson go down, he's probably the more natural one to go in front of Marshall. Of course, we like Reynolds, but, you know, he's the more natural one to go. And Marshall, he's had his chance. He just really hasn't done enough to show that he's going to make it. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Piron.
Yeah, and
yeah, okay.
I like the kid Reynolds. Who was the kid? Was it the kid Smith who went down with the injury? That wasn't was that Reynolds?
Wilson.
I like Wilson. Thank you. I liked Wilson.
Yeah, he was the best out of those.
Wilson. I felt bad. I think, and I will say this. This is what I will say. I think if he stayed, because I saw him I saw him on crutches after the game against the Bengals.
Uh-huh.
If he made the team, I mean, excuse me. If he had kept, if he didn't get hurt, I think he could have took the he could have took P. Ron's gig. I kind of think he could have took P. Ron's gig because he had the ability to he had explosion. He had the ability to be to return kicks. He was a guy that I think could have took P. Ron's gig. Like I think he could have pushed P. Ron. I felt bad for him. Right. I felt bad for him because he could have had a
and
spot.
Another thing is that you're right. But the other thing is, P. Ryan, Reynolds, and Wilson, they're just one-year rentals, to be honest with you. Real kid is Bryce Love.
Wait, oh, yeah. That's
there you go. Like
Adam said this.
That's why I'm going to follow. I talk to him all the time because, exactly, it's not just about, like, agreeing on prospects. We see the same things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's exactly what it is. He's got it, you know. And, we'll see what's going to happen.
All right, let's go to the defense. Yep. Let's go to the defense. Some defensive players. Obviously, you know, Jonathan Allen's going to make the team. Deron Payne, Tim Settles, Matt Ioannidis, Ryan Anderson, Montez Sweat, Sean Deion Hamilton, Josh Harvey Clemens, John Bostic, Cole Holcomb, Ryan Kerrigan. I did have Jordan Brailford because I liked him, but he's not making the team. He can go practice squad. I could tell he could be a practice squad dude. Because I think McKenzie will make the team. I think he'll definitely make the team. I think I'm with you. I'm with you, Adam. I think he can definitely help out Kerrigan, getting him some rest. And then we look at. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if Brailford came back from that groin injury, I think he would have had a good chance and they would consider keeping five. But, you know, he re-aggravated that. Yeah. And I think it's going to be easy just to put him on IR. You know, we'll have him back next year.
Yeah.
You know, but what I was going to say is, you know, we didn't see a ton of JoJo McIntosh, the safety out of Washington.
Yeah.
And man, I was really hoping he was going to take it from Apke because Apke. They just don't want to admit that it was a blown pick.
They messed up.
A blown pick with that.
Adam, you stole my thunder. The surprise cut on defense, I was going to say Troy Apke because I'm liking Reeve.
I think he's better.
He's better. There's no doubt he's better.
I actually have him making the team.
Okay.
I have him. I think so I have him making the team. I have I forgot who I had surprisingly not making the team, but I had him making the team over. I can't think who I cut, but I had him making the team. I have Quentin Dunbar, secondary I have is Fabian Monroe, Dunbar, Moreland, obviously Josh Norman. I have the DRC Strowman. I got Strowman. Landon Collins, DeShazer Everett. Nicholson, yeah. Apke, and I have Reeves. Yeah. I think JoJo McIntosh.
Yeah, it'll be for safety.
Yeah, JoJo will probably practice squad, but I'm with you though, Adam. I wanted to see what he could do. I wanted to.
Yeah. This is a big game for him. I think he's not going to knock Apke off, but he could be a reach. But just like I mentioned about Steven Sims, if somehow he has a really good game, you know, it's not about him making the squad. It's about will he pass through waivers and make it to practice squad. So that's what it's about with Steven Sims. Those are my two guys, Steven Sims and JoJo McIntosh. If they have really good games, it's not about, oh, they got to be on the 53. It's will they clear waivers. So those two, they have to have the best games out of everyone on the squad right now. They're the biggest bubble players for me.
So, all right. So I want to make
a positive note.
No, so go ahead.
No, I was saying, surprising note, Alexander practiced this week, I heard. Adonis.
Oh, that's cool.
He's back in
practice. Yeah.
That's good for him.
He's
he might get decisions.
He's got to get on the field. If he doesn't get on the field, he's got zero. To me, he's already got, like, next 0.001% chance to make the team. But if he wants to make another team this year, he better try to get on the field because, you know, I've been a big fan of his. And, you know, if he can put some good tape together, he's not making this team, but maybe he can follow Gray. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there's not – Redskins, I think they gave him a shot to see what he can do, and it just – he couldn't stay healthy, and they looked at his physicality and his size, and it just never translated to the field. So I feel bad. I was – you know, I wrote about the hope as soon as he came in and the high hopes. And, yeah, he's just – no matter what he does, he's not making this team.
You listen? I remember that discussion, and everybody laughed at us.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he should play safety. He's not a corner.
Exactly. He's a strong safety. Exactly. John Kine went back at me and said, you know, he's like, I'm tired of people saying this. And I even said to John Kine, I said, fair enough. I know people say stuff to you, but I've watched his tape. In his freshman year when Gray was coaching him, when he had him rotating between safety and cornerback, was his best year as a collegiate. And nobody tried that. We did not even put him in that position. So I blame a lot of the Redskins on his development. Less on him and more on the Redskins, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now I have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report and Paul, who is a contributor for the Burgundy and Gold Report, on the line. So, yeah, I want to stay on Adonis. I'm with you. I think he should have been playing safety. He's a prototypical safety when you look at his build. He could be a guy that could be very – I think he could have been a guy who could have started if they had him play the safety route. But unfortunately, like, I'm with you, Adam. Like, this team failed him, like, in terms of his progression.
Yeah, it was a shame because, like you said, he had all the physical traits and everything to put it together, but it just didn't come through with him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Looking at the film, he's good when he sees anything in front of him, but when you ask him to turn direction, like I saw in camp when I was down there, I was like, oh, he has issues.
Because
he's too big.
So I want to know
what you –
I want to know who you guys have in terms of making, like, so I have 53 added up. You guys don't have Josh Dotson. I'm trying to figure out how we differ. You don't have Josh Dotson. So I'm guessing you have Sims, you have Kidzie or Sims as the receiver making the team so far.
I have Steven Sims as my, Robert Davis and Sims 6 and 7.
All right. So I have Robert Davis as my 7th. Okay. So, all right. So,
I'm different. I got Kidzie as my 7th.
So you got Kidzie as your 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, how many offensive line? So, do you have? I'm trying to figure out you have Eric. I mean, obviously Eric Flowers is making it. But how many offensive line? Yeah, you have Tony Burgess making the team, right? I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay. You have.
I got 10, not including Trent Williams, and my 10th out of all this is going to be a surprise. My 10th is going to be a free agent to be. It's going to be one of the cuts. I think we're going to pick up another tackle, maybe swing tackle guard on the waiver wire. So I have 10, not including Trent Williams.
Okay, so did any of you all have Timone Paris? I thought he's some garbage. Did you all pick it? Okay, I thought not.
No.
Okay, garbage. Cool. Yeah, exactly. I didn't keep any extra tackles, any extra guards or whatnot, other than obviously the guys that the Skins drafted, Wes Martin, even, you know, the center, the kid from Alabama, center guard. I'm trying to figure out how we differ. Other than Josh Dotson, I get that, but so none of y'all have Reeves like making the team, because that was a hard one for me. But it was easy once, I didn't include who was I didn't include when I didn't include like Brian Quick or somebody like that. It was easy for me, like it wasn't hard for me.
Like Paul said, it's like pick your poison, you know. Between Josh Boston, Darvin Kidzie, Steven Sims, they're gonna keep 7.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if they don't keep 7. So it's pick your poison. It's one of those guys. Yeah. You know, I think we're all split. You know, we all had as our 6 and 7 different guys. But I think that's the best competition.
How about Ryan B?
So here's a wild card.
Who
else? He good.
Ryan B.
Ryan B. The defensive lineman.
Yeah.
I didn't see enough. I didn't see enough from him. It's gonna be interesting. Yeah, I agree with that. Agreed.
Some people think DRC may not make the team. I kind of think he will, though. But some people think DRC may not make the team.
Yeah, he will. Because they need him. His relationship with Landon Collins alone, I think he makes the team.
Okay. And he's a backup free safety.
That's my thing. I agree. I'm with y'all. not Apke. Yes, he's the backup free safety. He is needed.
He's this year's Will Blackman. He's the version of Will Blackman.
Yeah.
Have somebody who's versatile.
Cause this team
can play, you know, more than one position.
Yeah, because this team does not want Apke on the field as a safety. Mm-hmm. Special teams is fine, but you don't want him on the field.
No. Yeah.
What I was going to say is Caleb Brantley. It's going to be interesting to see what, you know, you guys mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting with Caleb Brantley because it's that dreaded Liz Frank sprain, you know. Mm-hmm. The Liz Frank sprain, more than half the time, they get worse. They don't usually get better. So if Caleb Brantley, from what everything I'm hearing, he's going to start the season. And that, you know, I'm glad about that. But as a defensive tackle, anyone who plays football, watches football, you know how many times people step on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's one bad play away from gone. So, you know, like we know that, you know, it's John Allen, Deron Payne, Ioannidis, and Tim Settle in that rotation with Caleb Brantley being the fifth. So if it's not Caleb Brantley, who is it? I personally, I don't think if we don't have Brantley, that other guy's on the roster right now. Yeah. I'm just not impressed with the other defensive tackles they have.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, before I let you guys.
One guy I thought was kind of interesting on the defensive line is JoJo Wicker. And he causes a lot of commotion. He's just a hustle guy.
Yeah.
He's a type of energy defensive lineman Brantley can't go. I like him. I like his game.
No, I like him too. I think he's a guy that you can, if you want to keep multiple players, I think you can stash him in the practice squad. I think you can stash him.
Agreed. That's why I have him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I have him on the practice.
I think
because you got to meet a certain criteria to be that fifth one. And again, I like what he does, but I also have no fear that he'll make the practice squad. So, you know, I think that's somebody that you can keep there.
Yeah. And that's the thing, how you got to kind of play it off, even though, like, for instance, the last season when the Skins had Cobb, right? They just messed up by not taking him off the practice squad. They could stash him for a little bit, but they just messed up by not taking him off. You knew he was talented. You knew he should have been on the main roster eventually, but you have time to stash him and say, you know what, we can stash you, and we really believe that you're getting better, and we believe that, you know, you could be this kind of player that we can just put you on the main roster. So that's how I look at, you know, this situation. They're guys that, yeah, they showed out a little bit in preseason, but they're not, you shouldn't be scared to lose them, put it that way. You can still stash them.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
Interesting. Yeah. But hey, guys.
Didn't I talk about the tight end?
The tight ends? You want to talk about tight ends? What tight ends? You like Sprinkle?
Are we going to cut Matt Flanagan?
Oh, I don't think he's making the team, really? Man. I don't think he's making the team, man. You think he's making the team?
Somebody asked me that on Twitter, man. And I said, I said, no hands Flanagan. Are we really talking about him?
Man, we got three already. We have three tight ends that are going to make this roster. And that's about
it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think Sprinkle is good, too.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I know one guy might go on practice squad. Might be Parham. But I hope so.
He will. He's a project. He will. He will. No, he will. He's a project. Yeah. He will. He'll be on a practice squad.
Yeah, what I saw, like I wrote that article about him, but I still think he's at least another year away, you know, because he's got those 7-foot wingspan, you know. He's got those long arms, and he's really good blocking his place, but inline blocking, he just doesn't have it. And I think he just had a lot of jitters coming from Stetson. You know, that's a huge jump. But I think, you know, you can keep that guy in the practice squad for a year or two and you can see something. But, you know, I really wish they would consider a fullback, you know, and I think that, you know, J.P. Holt showed a little bit, you know, that he could maybe, you know, play that dual role. But, he's another one that, you know, I think J.P. Holt will be on the practice squad as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish they would. You could utilize a fullback. That'd be good for AP. That'd be good for guys too. They just, I don't know. Jason.
That's another reason they like P. Ryan too, I think. Because P. Ryan, although he hasn't had a lot, you know, someone tried to argue with me on Twitter a while back about, oh, he never took any snaps to Oklahoma. Okay, technically no. But when they had Mixon in the game in Oklahoma, they used P. Ryan in certain formations. You know, it was less than 10% of the season. But, you know, with his size, and he's even bigger now, I think you could have Piran as a fullback.
Why not?
You know, maybe that's the thinking. And, you know, maybe, like I said, Jay Gruden, he's been keeping, you know, a little tight, you know, tight to the chest, you know, lately, you know, a la Bill Belichick. So maybe that is the plan. Maybe Piran will be worked in the fullback. I don't know, but I'd like to give Jay some credit, you know, but overall, you know, Jerry's still out on a lot of his decisions, so we'll see.
Look what Adam just did. Adam he compared Cam Sims to Hopkins, and he just compared Jay Gruden to Coach Belichick. Man, I wish. That's how look.
They're not comps, man. They're not comps. They're just.
I know. I'm messing with you, Adam. I'm messing with you.
I see, not comps.
very different thing.
Oh, I know, Adam. You know I'm messing with you. You know I'm messing with you. I'm like, I wish. Man, I wish Coach Gruden channeled his inner Coach B. And also, you know, I wish he did, man. If it pans out, that would be great. But I don't know. When I look at Jay needs to change up. He needs to change a lot of things up. You can't keep doing the same thing you did in the past and think you're going to get a different result. You've been 7-9, 8-8-ish type of coach doing the same thing. So you're going to have to change something up.
Yeah, he has to. But you know what? I was listening to the John Kine podcast, and, you know, it is true. You know, I think, what do they say? An average of 50 players to IR in that time period, he – 7-8 games back to back.
Yeah,
I do give him credit with that. You know, he's good. He's good at getting, you know, guys on the field, third, fourth stringers, and, you know, getting the most out of them. But for him to take the next level as a coach, he needs to start adjusting his game plan to his players.
Agreed.
And
right.
That to me will come into play once we see Dwayne Haskins. Because once we see Dwayne Haskins in there, listen, this intricate playbook. And these long terminology, people on Twitter were like, well, that's how it is in the NFL. No, it's not. That's how it used to be. You know, plays are now 12, 14. You know, that's part of the wristband. You know, that's why they have them. So, you know, what I would like to see is him take it more of the Ohio State concept, and especially with McLaurin, you know, those bubble screens, those quick routes, the quick game, you know, those are the kind of things to get him confidence. And then next thing you know, boom, he flicks the flick of the wrist, 55 yards downfield. So, I think as Redskins fans, we just need to be patient. It's coming. You know, let's just hope, you know, we can see, you know, go, you know, 2-2 in the first four games, because unless Keenum gets hurt, Keenum's going to get, he's going to get the reins for at least 3 or 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, don't say, oh, gosh. Don't do that. Look, you should hope the best for Case Keenum.
I'm hoping the best, but I watched film of Chase Keenum. Let me tell you something. I told Adam this, and why I didn't tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
He'll drive the ball down the field, and he'll make that bonehead turnover like he did in Atlanta. And you're like, it changes the momentum.
Yeah.
And I'm, that's not what changed my opinion, though. I'm like, okay, our defense is going to hang in there, tough stuff, mm-hmm. and let you know, turnover, pick six the other way. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for the best, but.
No, he's always been that guy. He's always been that guy.
As we're speaking, I'm writing that, you know, the way to get the best out of Keenum is having a great run game and not asking him to throw 25-plus times a game. You know, mm-hmm. you want to, with Keenum, in my opinion, you want to keep it, you know, under 20 attempts a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have it under 20 attempts a game, that means we're having a good game in the run game. And, you know, the play action, the quick game, the screen game, that's when he does well. If you look at the Minnesota film, everyone talks about Thielen, everyone talks about Diggs. But, you know, don't sleep. They had a decent run game going
definitely.
You know, and
they did.
You know, they didn't have a great line. Everyone needs to remember, Minnesota, they did not have a good line when he was there. So he can do some things, but don't put him in multiple step drop back, because that's when he's going to make a bonehead play and he's going to do something stupid. It's got to be bing, bang, ball out. That's the only chance he's going to have to do anything decent, but we have to lean on the run game.
Again, like I mentioned, I agree, like, you know, the only thing, if I'm Case Keenum, I'm feeling good, because I look at a guy, and we know, you mentioned, like, Jay gets a lot of, you know, negative talk about him, but he's a guy that's made quarterbacks in this offense who can throw, you know, who are able to throw the ball and to put up numbers. I'm not saying wins, but put up numbers. He did that with Cousins, who's now in Minnesota. Colt McCoy, who I said before was a journeyman and no one cared about. Now people think he could be a starter. You know, so, you know, Jay has that in the back of his – he has that card to say, you know what, Case, you know, you had a good year in Minnesota. I can bring that type of Case Keenum back out. But he don't have Thielen and Diggs, though, so it is what it is. See, I try to gas myself
he
up.
Might. He,
I try
he
to
might.
Gas myself
know.
Up.
Jury's out on that. He might.
Thielen
was Thielen before he was, so what,
that's
know,
true. But you know what? Thielen always – but he always – like you – like he always showed ability prior – even when Bridgewater. He showed some ability. Like you saw, like he earned his way. Now he blew up. That year, you're right, he blew up, but he showed ability. So, you're right, maybe we'll get that out of Paul Richardson or I mean, I would say Josh Dotson. Y'all say somebody else, but maybe he'll get that out of.
I would say McLaurin, like a Calvin Harmon.
See, you gonna say? I'm gonna say Josh Dotson over McLaurin. Harmon. That's me. I would say McLaurin though. I would be honest to say McLaurin. I think it'd be a McLaurin. I think, and I'm a Michigan. I'm a Michigan fan. It's hard for me to like to even say anything Ohio State, but like McLaurin. Obviously, I mean, I like Haskins. I respect a man who could do damage to my defense and still you know, show out. So I think Haskins, I think McLaurin will definitely put up numbers, could put up numbers with Case Keenum. I think he kind of reminds me a little bit of Stephon Diggs, just a little bit. Not as shifty as Stephon. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it. But in terms of how running good routes, kind of reminds me of Stephon a little bit.
I would say his route tree is a little more diverse than Diggs was coming into the league. Diggs a lot, but his route tree is a lot more crisp. His blocking is hands down
way better than Diggs.
Better than anybody in Minnesota.
I agree.
So you know, he can be a really good receiver for us. But I think, you know, we'll see a little, but we won't really see what he can truly do until Haskins comes in, to be honest with you. We're gonna as long as Keenum's in there, I think it's gonna be heavy doses of the tight end, running back, and you know, a Trey Quinn. You know, when you have Haskins in, you know, then we can go more vertical. So, you know, until then, you know, let's Reed is he's the key to the, in my opinion, not Keenum.
Uh-huh.
Reed is the first, is the key to the first four games. And if they're saying what's true, that, you know, it's likely, you know, he could be out of the protocol very soon. You know, he's going to be the key, but, you know, my next film breakdown, Sprinkle. This guy is, I'm telling you right now, this is one of my sleepers on the team this year. I think not only is he going to be, it's a really good blocker. I think this is a guy that's going to surprise a lot of people this year.
So basically what y'all saying is, I'm hearing this, is my estimation is this. When Keenum is in the game, we're going to just play short passing game. We're going to run the football heavy.
That's right.
Defense is just going to lie to 11 in the box. Like, okay, Case, we dare you to be this deep. Safeties are going to be up close, and it's going to be to the point where you're not going to see Sims or McLaurin or Harmon's full ability put in the open up the defense to get them scared. McLaurin will scare you to death, but you know, with Keenum in there, they're going to like, just throw the deep out or throw a deep pass. So it's like, you can't do that. And that's where it's like the offense is going to be limited with all the speed and skill that we finally have because of the quarterback. And like, it comes down to this, fellas. If you look at our first couple of games, we really don't have the advantage of quarterback.
Yeah.
That's one of my things where Haskins, talent wise, will scare teams to death. Because teams know, we don't have film on him, but we know he can throw the football 70, 60 yards in the air with no problem. And he has people to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we also realize, though, remember this, though, defensive coordinators are cocky. Okay,
yeah,
and when they see rookies in the game, they smell blood. So I think, I hear what you're saying, but I think when Haskins does come in, they're going to stack the box on Haskins and they're going to dare him to throw it, too.
Yeah.
What Reed does is Reed actually opens up the middle. So, yes, they will bring pressure, but I think with Keenum in, they know he can get the ball to the tight end. He's shown he can do that. So I think there'll be a little of both. But when Haskins comes in, you'll see teams are gonna dare him to throw long. So, you know, it's like you said, though, we're not going to see how good this offense is really going to be, the passing game in particular, until Haskins really gets in there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. I wouldn't sleep on Case, you know, throwing a deep ball because he does throw an accurate deep ball. He doesn't have a great arm. I'm not saying he has a cannon, but he's an accurate deep ball. Like you saw with Robert Davis on that pass interference play. We've seen it a couple times. If you watched him, even watched him in college in Houston, and sometimes even with the Texans, I won't say the Rams, that was a jacked up situation. But with the Texans, you know, he throws a nice deep ball. Like he does throw a nice deep ball. So if you got a guy like Paul, he's not going to – again, he doesn't have like a Haskins arm, but he does have accuracy on his deep ball. So, you know, if you got a guy like McLaurin who can, you know, get behind – you know, can get behind the safety, or you got a guy like Paul Richardson and they are open, he's a guy that will hit them. I think he will hit them in stride. He is that – he does have that kind of arm.
Yeah.
I mean, that type of accuracy. Don't say arm. That type of accuracy. And he's willing. And, you know, Jay, he's willing. He's a willing guy. He's a willing deep ball thrower, which – it's different from, you know, the other quarterback. He's a willing that used to be here that's in Minnesota. He's willing.
Yeah.
I watched all the Denver film, and I think a lot of people need to take the Denver out of the equation.
They need to.
No,
yeah, they need to. Yeah,
they did not help them.
Mm-hmm.
That Denver played against every strength that Keenum has. They really tried to, you know, fit a square in a peg. You know what I mean? It just was not working. So I think we should take out the Denver film and just go back, mm-hmm. go on everything before that to see what he can do. And yes, he can do it, but he's more pushing it. He's pushing it downfield. He's not spinning it. He's not arcing it.
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the thing, you know. And just like Paul said, unfortunately, those kind of balls. Those are, you know, those aren't jump off turnovers. Those are the kind of balls that get tipped when you're pushing it through. That's where it hits the defender on the back of the arm, the back balls and turnovers. And again, I'm with Paul. That's what scares me is the way he does that when he's going 20 plus yards down the field. That's when a lot of tip balls happen for him because he just doesn't get that arc on the ball. He can get it downfield. He just does. It's just like a golfer that gets, you know, high altitude on the hit, you know, or a golfer that can get it far, but it's just low. He's pushing it. And that's what Keenum is.
So guys, before I let you guys go, let our listeners know about how they can catch you on Twitter, you know, some Twitter or, you know, how they can catch your content on the blog. And Paul, you know, I want you to, you know, to talk about how much you dislike Dotson, all that good jazz.
I was going to tweet you about that. I thought I'd do it tomorrow. Look, I got my Dotson points right here, but I said, okay, we stick it to the roster. I'm not going to go on the tank.
Thank you. So I appreciate
you. Tomorrow.
You got to wait till tomorrow. Don't do it now. Wait till tomorrow. Why are you going to waste that content on this show? We have time to like to really go in it into it like tomorrow. Or we can tweet back and forth while I'm at work.
Yeah.
Yes, we always. Yeah, like my trade for him to go to Seattle with somebody I didn't like, but that's okay though.
You know what? That's a good fit though. I thought about Seattle. That was a good fit. I did not dislike that one actually. I actually like that one. I have a couple of places I think he would be really good at. I like that one.
I mentioned Pittsburgh and the Raiders before, but not Seattle. That's the best fit out of all of those teams.
Yeah, it is. I like quarterbacks that are. They're all willing to throw jump balls all the time. Like, Phillip Rivers would be a good one for Josh Dotson, too. I think Phillip Rivers would be amazing for Josh Dotson.
Most definitely.
Breeze would be great, but they're already stacked, though, so they don't need no Josh Dotson. But, like, definitely Russ. Yeah, Russ with Dotson, it's a good look. I'll say that much. It's a very good look.
It's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good fit.
First off, question. First off, quick question before we go. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Is an experienced coach, right?
Yeah, he's good.
I looked at the receiver the Redskins have had, and some improved. I went back and looked at Dotson's film at TCU, and I looked at his first couple of years. He's the same receiver.
Dotson?
And he Boykin threw the ball, he threw the ball 50-50 ball, but he's basically covered every single time you throw him a pass. I've never seen that in my life. He's actually covered.
You know what? I mean, I'm going to tell you this. Like, this is the thing. So, he's not covered all the time because we used to have this debate in the press box all the time. We used to actually like literally scream about this when Kurt was here. Like, this is when Kurt was here. This is not even about when last season, not with Alex. This is when Kurt. He was open a lot in that year. He was open a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot, to be honest with you. He gets a bum rap. He was open a lot. And we used to literally yell, like looking at it from the press box, like, this Kurt is just not letting this thing go. Like, he needs to let this thing go. And so I feel like, all right, this is my thing about Dotson. I agree, like, if you're trying to look at him in the prism as him being like that dude, right? Like DeAndre, Julio, you're looking at it the wrong way. I will say this, though.
Right.
I will say this, though. And this is very important for a young wide receiver, like a young wide receiver. If you don't have the quarterback, and I really believe this, if you don't have the quarterback to build you up, and what I mean by that is, like, feed you, it's going to be hard to be at the level that folks think that you should be. You know what I mean? So, like, if you don't have, if you, like, that's why I'm telling you, everyone loves Michael Thomas. If you think Michael Thomas was in with a different quarterback starting his career, it would be a different argument. I'm not saying he wouldn't be that good, but I'm telling you that we wouldn't be talking about Michael Thomas like we talk about him now, like he's Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins. We wouldn't talk about him like that way. But If Josh
just
Dotson,
like Colston, nobody would have talked about Colston.
Colston, exactly. You see my, you know my point. You know, yeah, exactly. So the reason that we talk about Josh Dotson like this and say, man, he hasn't produced, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, because he never really had a quarterback, to be real with you, for his skill set, because he's not elite like Julio, who's going to make you look better, or DeAndre, who's going to make you look better, or even AB, who's going to make you look better to a certain extent. I have an argument about AB, but that's a whole different thing. He's not like those dudes. He's a guy that needs his quarterback to help him look good. And if his quarterback helps him look good.
What do you mean by that?
Huh?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
What I was saying is, what you mean by that is the receivers make me look good because they get separation.
Yeah, but see, but some of this quarterback, like, all right, so you watch Michael Thomas. How much separation does Michael Thomas get? Really, though?
No, like, he gets it at the top of the route, though.
Yeah, but he gets but it's really, route. Like, it's really not the best separation for, like, it's really, like, again, I saw. I'm saying for we so like Josh got separation in 20 again. I'm trying to think of Kurt's last year. Was that 2017? That's 2017, 2016.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, he got separation.
I think 2017.
Yeah, 2018. He had separation. He got separation that year. I'm just saying, like, there are quarterbacks that throw you open even when you're not really getting thorough separation. And Josh is the type of dude.
I agree.
That Josh is the type of dude. You're right. He's not going to pull away like. There's some of the guys we mentioned. Like, even let's look at DeAndre Hopkins. As much as we like DeAndre, right? He gets separation every once in a while, but does he get that much separation for real? Like, for real?
It's his route running.
Yeah.
That's what separates it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'll pitch before we leave tonight is watch my film room tomorrow morning.
All right.
You know, when I was talking about how Sprinkle made the block.
Yeah.
Dotson on that route that I have runs the post route. Mm. You can see it. He rounds off the route.
Instead of
sticking his foot in the ground and making that angle, he rounds them off. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between him and a player like Michael Thomas.
Okay. But how about the route that he ran it for that past, the only reception he had?
The against only Atlanta?
Yeah, against Atlanta.
That's what I'm talking about. That's going to be on my film room tomorrow. You'll see it. It looks beautiful, but when it's slowed down, just remember, it's a post route.
Yeah.
You just look. You can see the post route. It's a straight up, and it's a quick angle in field. And you can see he rounded it off. Mm-hmm. Granted, he got the catch, but he got the catch because Sprinkle took out the pass rush.
Okay, I got you.
You know,
and Keenum,
like I said, put it down. So just check out that. You'll see what I'm saying, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was a good route. He still made the catch, and I'll give him kudos for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a typical example of not sticking your foot in the ground and going and making the cut. He just rounded off the route. And, you know, again, I still think he can play good for other teams. But the way our offense works,
I agree.
You can't run him like that.
No, I agree with you. I think he's not utilized like to what his skill sets. His skill set is not utilized the way it needs to for this team. No, I agree with you.
You don't put him on post route.
No, you don't.
You just don't do it.
You don't
put him on comebacks and comeback phase and go route. That's what Josh Dotson is.
I agree.
If you go back and listen to my man Fred, like Fred Smoot said, I guess Fred. He said Josh Dotson has no ground game. You know, he doesn't have a ground game.
That's a good point. That's a good point, though. I won't argue that.
He doesn't have a ground game. No route running, no separation. So for somebody would be 6'3". And 200+.
He don't play physical.
That's kind of hard.
He don't play. He don't try to truck.
Yeah.
I know that's true. He don't try. He's not. He's
right.
I call people like Josh Dotson. You know, how I'm gonna say this in a nice way. I can't say it in a nice way. It's impossible. it's possible. He's always worried about his money. Put it that way. He's always worried about his money.
Exactly.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, I call that my man Deshaun. Well, Deshaun was smart though. You got to slide. I call it the St. Louis Rams approach. Why take a hit when you just go to the ground?
Right.
It's always a career decision.
Yeah, career decision.
Yep.
I call it a business decision. Always a business decision. Hey guys, thank you for being on. But I want you to mention your Twitter handles and stuff like that. Come on, do that, please. Let it happen, Captain. Mention Twitter handles, social media. Come on, make it happen.
Skins P is my Twitter handle. PDC1010. I'll be making a little more in-game assumptions, especially Thursday night. I usually tweet out what I like or don't like. And I usually go at Wally sometimes.
Sometimes. Don't be saying sometimes. That and your little subliminals. You think I won't be catching your subliminals? You think I won't be catching? I'll be catching them joints.
I'll tweet something out with Wally in mind. I wait for him to come. Sometimes, you know, I'll be making my stuff about the management. I made a little tweet today about how we had a missed opportunity about clowning, but that's for another time. Thought I was done for saying that. But,
we'll talk about that tomorrow, for
please.
Sure.
Please, yeah, we'll definitely talk about the clowning thing. I'm all for clowning.
But yeah, this year, doing games, I'll be doing a lot more tweeting about plays I didn't like and I did like, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I love it, man. I love it.
And like I said earlier, I did my blog, the burgundyandgold.wordpress.com. Catch me on the Burgundy and Gold Report film room. That's going to be up tomorrow morning. That'll be on Twitter at the BNG Report.
All right, man. You know, I appreciate you guys.
All right.
We'll wrap tomorrow, as always. We'll definitely wrap on Thursday. I'll talk about Dotson making the team. You'll talk about him not making the team. It'll be great. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. It's amazing. It's swell. It's peachy.
Well,
ATTR,
guys.
ATTR, all right, y'all. Thanks. I appreciate you guys. You know it.
Thanks as always. All right. Always a pleasure. Well,
hey, right, no problem.
Go
all right, those are my folks, man. Adam and Paul. Make sure you check them out. Check their content out at the Burgundy and Gold Report. Also, check them out on Twitter. Great guys. Now, how am I going to end the show off after this great discussion about the Skins roster? How am I going to end it off? Oh, I know. You've been listening to All Skins, everything with the urban sports scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, for I Just Shittig. Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.